Chairman Brad Holton, I'll call the meeting to order. Present is Commissioner Brooks, telephonically, Commissioner Van Beek. With that, let's start. We have a 1 o'clock agenda item, and it's fiscal year 2025 budget workshop number two. So this is consideration of things as things that we are meeting on the second time on these different budgets. So, Chief, do you want to, you're thinking to start with constituent services workshop number two for just like it's presented?
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly how it's presented on the agenda would be great.
Sure. Okay.
So I have a presentation. I have it linked up, but I don't think it's popping up on me.
Because you don't control that.
Yeah, table four. There you go. Good evening, Chair and the Commission. My name is Aaron Williams. I'm the Director of Constituent Services here for Canyon County. Today I'll be discussing FY25 Budget Workshop Part 2 for the Constituent Services Department. We were here in front of you all a few weeks ago, and we kind of gave an iteration of high level what we were talking about for Budget Workshop 1. And so now the purpose of this is to provide more information and insight to the Constituent Services Department for Part 2 of the Budget Workshop. In this PowerPoint, I'll talk about our A budget request, our B budget request, and then I'll conclude. Just to give you an overview for our A budget, we brought up the proposal of getting the communication specialist from the commissioner's A budget, bringing them over to the constituent services department A budget. That's reflected in the numbers, as well as with the grade adjustment from grade 13 range 3 to grade 14 range 2. We also talked about a proposal of a policy analyst, a new hire. I'll speak more on this. A policy analyst will help with efficiency, accountability, and foresight. They'll provide uniform policies across departments, clear and accessible guidelines. A policy analyst will identify and eliminate redundant or outdated policies. Streamlining our administrative processes, this will save time, reduce bureaucratic hurdles, and make our operations more agile and responsive. Ensuring compliance and mitigating risk. Compliance with current laws and regulations is a non-negotiable. A policy analyst will ensure all our policies meet legal standards, protecting us from legal issues and liabilities. The policy analyst will keep our policies aligned with new legislation and regulatory changes, ensuring we remain compliant and proactive rather than reactive. Empowering data-driven decision-making. A policy analyst will utilize data and research to develop evidence-based policies tailored to the specific needs of our county. This approach ensures our decisions are informed and effective. In a rapidly changing world, policies must be adaptable. A policy analyst will help us anticipate and respond to future challenges, ensuring our county remains resilient and forward-thinking. Enhancing accountability and transparency. A centralized policy handbook with clearly delineated responsibilities enhance accountability among all county employees. This will foster a culture of responsibility and integrity. Transparency is key to maintaining public trust. A well-structured policy framework will ensure our operations are transparent and easily understandable to all stakeholders, including the public. The public and stakeholders should not maneuver with the county guessing our limitations and parameters when it comes to policy. There should be an updated policy handbook that is linked to new legislation that's been passed to help them understand the constraints and the parameters that they can operate within the county. They will also ensure that our policies align with our strategic goals, driving our long-term vision and objectives forward. This alignment is crucial for sustainable development and effective service delivery. As our county continues to grow, a robust policy framework will support innovation and development, ensuring that we are all well prepared for the future challenges and opportunities. If we're looking at really pushing the envelope when it comes to the things that we do, we don't want to have employees sit there and guess on things of, okay, well, I can do this, but I don't know really what I can and can't do. Having an updated policy handbook will allow the foundation of what they can and can't do, but also tell them how to push the envelope a little bit further while staying creative and innovative at the same time. I left this slide for an opportunity to just have conversation around the policy analyst and really provide answer any questions that the board may have when it comes to this position or if there's any clarification that you all need.
Very concise.
Yes, Chairman?
Yes.
Aaron, thank you for that recap. I think that you've done a good job capturing in a difficult position because of the amount of taxes levied that year that they only took $40 million. I did not vote for that budget. I am in favor of creating, as you indicated, strategy that makes the county successful long-term. And in the absence of good policy, that is a shortcut that I don't think we can afford. I am for this position. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Chief?
Mr. I do have one question. If you're given a priority, because I noticed, Director, you have $20,000 in part-time,
mm-hmm.
would that be something you'd give up? Or would you rather have a policy analyst? And I know there's an offset cost there, but just asking the question on the priority in your eyes between a policy analyst and your part-time.
So your question, Sir Chair, your question, Greg, Chief Operating Officer, is to potentially looking at not using the part-time fund and put that towards a policy analyst. Based on the priority and looking at where the county stands when it comes to policy, I'd be open for that. Just in the sense of, I think this is something that's critical, that's been needed for a while, and so this allows us to kind of jump on that and we can revisit the part-time work later on down the road.
Okay. All right, any other questions? Okay.
So our B budget. Last time that I was in front of the board, I brought up our B budget and different operating expenditures that we were looking at. I brought up hiring a professional consultant to develop our capital improvements plan. That was budgeted at $85,000. That's in the sheet that's presented, as well as our FOIA software that came in at $23,186 with an annual fee of $10,490. The FOIA software allows us to better track public records requests based on the Freedom of Information Act, as well as get departments on board when it comes to a smoother process with how we manage public records requests. Currently, it's just an email chain and a phone call, and it seems a little hectic and hard to track, and we really can't see what's going on either end. So this kind of solidifies the process so we can see where a public records request is, and so the public can better understand where it's at. I also discussed last time push notification software. This was brought up in multiple instances. One prominent one was Cookies with the Commissioners, talking about how Cannon County can communicate better with the constituents of Cannon County. I'll speak more on that. Push notification software, we looked at TextGov. TextGov pretty much allowed us to text constituents all the stuff that's going on within the county. It also allowed us to send back texts and have a whole conversation. It was going to pop up on your phone just as if someone would text you. TextGov came in at $28,000, $20,000 a year after year. It's a little pricey. I worked with them, and we were able to get that number down to $18,400 year after year, $12,000. Thinking on that, I thought it was still a little pricey, so I wanted to do my due diligence and do some more research on this, and so I did. I came across Textily. I went down, Destination Caldwell has it too. They're using it, and pretty much it's way cheaper than TextGov. The basic membership is $26 a month, $350 a year. This allows us to send 600 texts a month and have one group contact. The plus membership, which I recommend, is $69 a month, $850 a year. This is 2,400 texts with two custom contacts. Now, you may be wondering what's the difference between Textily and TextGov. Why is one significantly cheaper? Well, TextGov, on the other hand, they look at the county holistically. They say, okay, these amount of people live within Cannon County, so we're going to make a software that allows everyone within Cannon County to operate in. And that's assuming that they all opt into the text message services. TextGov puts us in a box to, okay, we only have two custom contacts, meaning we can only text out two custom information links. And they also block us on how many texts we can send out. TextGov was unlimited text messages as well as unlimited people to opt in. So they're kind of constrained in that. But Textily, it gives us the opportunity at a cheaper price to grow slowly. Let's say we get more people starting to opt in. We can go up and they have different memberships throughout that allows us to send out more texts as well as more information and create more custom contact lists. In this presentation, I talked over our A budget, communication specialist, bringing them over from the commissioner's A budget to the constituents' services A budget, as well as a proposal for a policy analyst, a new hire. I also went over our B budget, hiring a professional consultant for the capital improvements plan. I discussed the FOIA software, and then I went over push notifications and potential other softwares that we can use instead of TextGov, which we talked about last time. I'll stand for any questions.
Chairman?
Yes.
I have another question, Eric. Back up to the policy analyst.
Yep.
What is your bandwidth or capacity for being able to lead that project? Can you talk about the need for an additional person as opposed to your workload and what you're managing now?
Chair and the board. So to answer that question, when I'm looking at the policy analyst and all that will go into updating the policy handbook, it's something that's super, super detail oriented, and you're gonna need man hours that are sitting there working on it and getting real analytical with it. I believe that with the area that I'm operating now, I wouldn't be able to give as much attention as I could to the policy handbook, and this is something that we wanna get perfect the first time and continuously update throughout. Chairman, yes, ma'am. I will, Commissioner Bemby.
Okay. And then you liked the option from Destination Caldwell. So it's one thing to look at the price, but holistically, you think it's a better way to go?
Chairman and the Commission, I do believe that Textily is the potential better way to go in comparison to TextGov. TextGov is under the comprehension, and they're charging us for it too, in the sense of everyone within Canyon County is going to be opting in, and we're going to be sending out unlimited text messages and whatnot. Textily kind of allows us to progress forward, and we're not stuck in what I presented earlier of how many text messages and how many contact lists that we can have. We can always upgrade, and so that's a benefit towards Canyon County as well.
Okay, and what's the cost difference annually?
For the push notification TextGov, annually it was $12,000 year after year, implementation $8,400. For Textily, the plus membership, that's not the highest one, but that's the one that I'm recommending. It's $850 a year.
So you got almost like $19,000-$20,000 difference, is that right?
Give or take about.
But you also have a fraction of the number of texts allowed also.
Exactly, Chair.
There's a proportionality there. My question is if we put this on the website with the land use, and we could say on the land use page, if you would like to be aware of any developments of this hearing or whatever, we will text you. I would think the director's here for development services, but I would think 2,400 texts in a year could likely be consumed only with land use.
So, correction, when I said the plus membership, 2,400 texts, that's per month.
Okay.
So we're operating 2,400 texts per month.
Per month.
This is where it kind of gets sticky in the sense there's an opportunity for us to, we can use it solely as a push notification, but we can also use it as a way to communicate back and forth. And so when we communicate back and forth, that's a text that we're using. It's like almost, you have a savings account of $2,400. Each text you send out, it's a dollar.
Okay. All right.
And then, Chairman, can I ask, is that an annual contract, or so what's the opt-in, opt-out?
So it's an annual, Chair and Commissioner Van Beek, it's an annual contract. It's $850 a year billed annually, which came in at $69
okay.
a month, broken down month to month.
And thank you for that. I understand that part.
Yeah.
I appreciate the repetition. But I guess I was saying, do we have an option to give notice if it's not working, if we need more capacity? I guess you also said that we could upgrade to a plan that gives us more.
Sir Chair and Commissioner Van Beek, we can have that opportunity to upgrade in the middle if we choose so. We also, they're providing us with, if we potentially go down this route, they're providing us with a 14-day free trial where we can understand and get acquainted with the software. And I'm sure that they can push that free trial further out if we need time, be it.
Okay, thank you, Aaron. Appreciate your
detailed. Mr. Chairman. Yes. Aaron, how many texts does the city of Caldwell send out using TextMyGov or whatever it is? That they have
Textily.
First one, the expensive one.
TextGov. So that one, I'm still working with the city of Caldwell to understand how they actually operate within that, and so I currently don't have those numbers right now.
Okay.
So on the consultant, there's going to be multiple budget areas that are going to glean from this endeavor. I'm just talking out loud. To me, some of those other areas need to pay us back say the sheriff, the parks, there's specific budget categories there that need to figure out their proportionate share. So does $85,000 seem like it will carry that load for the year?
For the capital improvement plan?
Yep.
In the sense of, so the $85,000 that was brought forth for the capital improvements plan, that's just in the realm of developing the capital improvement plan itself. And based on the conversation that I had with the consultant, we do believe that that will cover the cost of the plan itself.
Okay. What's currently going to come out of constituent services budget, so no, it's not, and that's my concern, is that we might want to think about that a little further. Chief, you wanted a question?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, just kind of go over some numbers here. To go and look at a power plant, on the software line, it's $42,192, and I believe it covers $23,186 for the FOIA, and then $18,400 for the push text, the first
for
one.
For the first one, yes.
You're saying there's other implementation costs around that, though. $4,400 for the TextGov. It's in the notes. It says $4,400 implementation.
Yeah, that's included within the price.
Included in the 18?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then if we move away from the TextGov to the TextElite as just an example,
mm-hmm.
there's a potential savings of almost $17,000 or plus by going to your second option.
So it's your ESG operating officer.
That's a,
I think start small and go big later.
On that note, I could go along with that, but I'll go back to the policy analyst. I'm not going to disagree with anything that's been said about the necessity for it, but based on the numbers that I'm looking at, Mr. Chairman, we can't afford it. So at this time, I will not be supporting the policy analyst position.
Chairman, can I follow up?
Sure.
We have a potential 15 positions that are maybe more, but I would propose that we get down to the end and start ranking in terms of priority on that. And looking at the confidence of first one.
So you're advocating to leave it in at this point and have it on a possible chopping block on round three?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think I'd be in favor to see where it would land policy-wise. I don't disagree with Commissioner Brooks. But
and I understand what you're saying, Chairman, that we're in a tight spot for decisions that we didn't make, and somewhere this county needs good policy, and there has been analyzed it all, that has ever been opposed to, and it has cost everyone a lot. And I'm coming in, so I'm going to disengage your disagreement.
Okay.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, we could, you know, go through this and have this slated in one of our clerk board times.
Right.
New employees around the numbers. But also noting where Commissioner Brooks is as well on that.
Well, I just hate it because Commissioner Brooks is right so much of the time. So just have to follow it through.
And I have to say also, as kind of a long-term employee, we do need a policy analyst. Is now the time? That's the question.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Going
off what Chief Greg brought up in the sense of potentially cutting out the part-time work, based on a Clerk Hogabone, is there any way that we can potentially do that within the, are there any updates that I need to do for that if we potentially look at that long-term, or we just save it for the back end of things?
Chairman, Aaron, I think these meetings are good because I get a sense of kind of where the commissioners are going. I think tomorrow there's an afternoon meeting scheduled for us to kind of maybe have an exchange of where we're at, as far as, I think Commissioner Brooks is maybe alluding to it, and Commissioner Van Beek realizing that can't say yes to everything, and how are those trade-offs going to affect the bottom line? I think we can try to play some of those or run some of those scenarios. We've talked about maybe having kind of a laptop fired up, and if you're kind of adjusting some things up, down, what does that do to the bottom line? So as much as possible, I do want to bring before the commissioners kind of, hey, this is what this would cost. Just numbers are numbers, and if it's just taking the part-time down, leaving the analyst in, what does that do? And kind of do a running tally. But I also do look forward to tomorrow afternoon providing maybe some candid feedback as far as I know that I have to work on a presented budget to present before the commissioners, and I don't want to cause any offense in how things are looking in the initial construction of that, but it's going to be very, 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 very tight. And I'm going to be asking for a delay to my clerk's meeting that was scheduled for this afternoon to come back later, because I'm trying to find ways to potentially give up a position, because maybe that's a preview of the kind of situation we're in as a county. So, but things are tight, but I don't want to have that meeting right now. But the scenario is just math is math, and we're trying to take notes and capture those adjustments. And maybe what would be helpful is a follow-up email. I know Monica does a great job. You're doing a great job, by the way, with the minutes and posting them to capture everything looking back. But maybe is this presentation already attached?
No.
Okay. I think Monica would probably want that anyways, just to add to the batch of documents. But if you can send to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would.
So, Mr. Chair, with that, what the clerk is saying, do we want to, based on the recommendations of the director, adjust that line of software down to the other package instead of TextGov?
I do.
Yeah. Let's do that.
I'm typing it. Okay. And then I also have, Chairman, like, tentatively removing the part-time.
I think we should remove that too, Chairman.
Okay.
I appreciate your time. I'm trying to find another solution.
Yeah.
At least gets us to a starting point.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It's the text link, right?
Text link, yeah. Yeah, there it is.
Okay. Anything else? All right. So I think we got that documented. Let's move on to the next one, if that's all right with everyone.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Man, it's the clerk. So we want to stay with this much, or do you want to just touch on it, and then we'll let you loose?
I apologize asking for more time, but being a newly appointed clerk and still trying to assess the team, I alluded briefly to trying to find some adjustments. And the vacancy is really the chief deputy position, which there might be some some adjustments made that would eventually net a position off that would be unfunded. Still trying to explore how that would go. Right now, Mr. Uresti is the appointed chief deputy, and just to kind of preview out, I need to run the numbers and present in an updated form. The thought was to keep him in his current PCN and just assign a specialty pay, because I will be giving him slightly more additive responsibilities with certain aspects. And he and I have talked, and another option is for him to take the PCN and then unfund his current PCN, because he would still function as the court clerk for all intents and purposes. And his thoughts are, a year from now, he would be able to maybe reactivate that with a potential succession planning and do that in a cost neutral way by eliminating a position or two below him. So I know those are a lot of moving pieces, but to kind of tease out, that's kind of like a 2-year plan. But the initial impact would be to take an FTE off the books, and it would potentially either be the chief deputy position or the senior court clerk. One of those would go away in FY25. So that's one of the items to come before you. And then elections, you wanted more information, and Haley, just the way vacation worked and all that, we've had a very busy post-election season. I think you requested more information about the print-on-demand units, and we're gathering that information. I do have a spreadsheet that has a lot of that information on it, and I want to do a deeper dive into that, because we did, in our initial request $300,000, which is the same that you put in for this year's budget. We pivoted a little bit. We still have like 100-something thousand unspent to order some more units. We put 300,000 as a placeholder for next year. I'm thinking that we'll be able to lower that number, possibly to 200,000 or slightly below 200,000, to secure enough print-on-demand units to have at each location. But we're working through that spreadsheet. But again, the intent there is to try to refine that budget down, so that it's not an inflated capital budget. So those are a couple items that we're working on. The court clerks as a whole, I don't think there was anything that you needed. If there is a little bit of restacking the deck with Jess's role, that will be involved. I think the recorder's office was, there was nothing more that you needed to hear about the recorder's office. The auditor's office was, is mostly dealt with the transition to the kind of community county support division with Yvonne, but I don't think there's a lot of questions specifically about that. We did move the guardian ad litem amount over, so I'm going to put all this on paper, and I apologize that this afternoon I don't have all of that ready polished for you. It's kind of in raw form right now, but conceptually what I shared is what I'm preparing to present for you.
Well, it's just refreshing that the reason isn't COVID. So I'll take new any day over.
And Chairman, I would say too, thank you. You've done a stellar job getting the elections, and you're a detail-oriented, careful person. You have a good team now assisting. Kyle, thank you. And Sarah, you're invaluable. Steve, it's just a great working dynamic. So I'm in favor of punting this to Thursday and giving you more space.
Yep. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, there's a spreadsheet I kind of handed out. This is kind of a recap of all the workshop number ones that we went through. Now we're trying to determine which workshop number twos need to come back, or if you're good with questions. I did hand this out to the commissioners last week, kind of review. I sat down with the clerk and his staff to go through this. So what the summary sheet is were the changes that were requested in workshop number one and validated that they were changed within our plan. And Sarah's actually gone through and made all those changes. So what I'd like to do is go through on the record and all the adjustments we've made. And then I'd like to ask if we want to continue that meeting or cancel it for workshop number two. Then those that we cancel will free up some time that we can move the clerks into those slots.
So for the audio record, if we are canceling workshop number two, in essence, you can go back on the audio record and look at that budget hearing and hear all that there is. And what we're saying in essence is we accepted that budget for the first time with whatever changes Sarah might have put into it, but we see no need to bring it back for a workshop number two because there's nothing left to debate about. We accept it as it stands. Okay. So if you're listening to this and you have questions, well, why aren't they talking about, let me pick one. Clerk courts is one that we're proposing to not continue it to workshop two. That would be an example of one of the budgets that the first presentation is fine. We're going to accept it as is. Okay?
Okay, we good to start?
Mm-hmm.
We are good to start. Page one.
Page one, the very first one, we have the Board of County Commissioners. That's your budget, being the commissioner's office. There was one adjustment that was adding the hospitality events. And we put $3,000 in that. So that was in power plan. That's done. Is there any other questions you have around your own budget? Because we did move the one position out.
Right.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
What is this for?
This is to determine if we're going to actually have a second workshop.
No. The hospitality, $3,000.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Brooks, we talked about adding that is if you host like TVP or outside events for lunch.
Commissioners, cookies with commissioners. Just if we host events for the public.
That way we can separate those events than per diem traveling rates.
Have we had anything in there before?
No.
For that stuff?
New line.
Yeah, before it wasn't clearly delineated anyway.
It was all pulled out of mills. So instead of increasing our mills to accommodate, we added hospitality events and populated that.
Did we get rid of meals?
Nope. No. Meals the same as last year.
We are
$2,004 right now.
I think we got rid of the four.
Okay, we're 2,000.
For the record, and that was mentioned as a reoccurring theme, we've done the clerical work in adjusting the $4 adjustment.
Awesome.
We bless you in that work. Thank you.
Sarah and Steve.
Yay. All right.
Proved his worth and found how to clean that up.
Nice.
As an example, Commissioner Brooks, due to the Lakey bill, we're going to see the public in here far more than we have because all of those impact areas are going to be renegotiated and we could have a pretty high volume of traffic through. So.
And Chairman?
Just trying to be a good host
right.
for our people.
There is a desire to build relationships both up and down with the state legislature and down to the cities. So the county is initiating that effort in an attempt to get a unified vision, if you will, and to bring issues to the legislature that are important to local government.
Thanks.
Okay.
We're good with that?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. All right, the second was constituent services, which we just had round two, which I felt like we needed anyways, and so did the clerk based on some of the changes we talked through. Third one is the assessor reappraisal. The adjustments listed on this have been done on that budget, and they're highlighted as yes on those dollar amounts. There is a reorg. In place of $160,000. I know we have a workshop number two scheduled for this afternoon, so I figured it's still unanswered questions on this.
Yes.
So I'd like to continue that one.
Yes.
Two. And then, Chairman, can I ask on the... Oh, I see. It was adjusted to 170. Okay, never mind.
Have you seen any? Because I know you've had a week to look at this. If there's anything I missed, let's call it out. Now, Mr. Chair, do you want me to go through the budget line items and do the differences or just reference it since this will be on the agenda?
Just reference it since it'll be on the agenda.
Thank you. The other one is the assessor motor vehicle. There's another reorg on the motor vehicle side with some adjustments. I know some questions on the B side on that budget.
Yep, we need to continue that.
Okay. Yes.
The clerk of the courts. That one was really under budget, flatlined. I didn't have any questions on that. So I put cancel on. Did you want to continue that one, clerk?
No, the only potential change, as I mentioned, is if the PCN for the chief deputy, Jess, were to take that, he's an existing PCN, the request would be to eliminate, well, I shouldn't say unfund the PCN. Still be a PCN, but not fund it for FY25. So that would move his budget the budget would actually have a slight net increase for him, and it would be a decrease in the auditor's budget because the PCN's currently in the auditor. So the chief deputy position is pays more than the position he's in, so he would have a modest increase that would be funded out of the court clerk, and then you would eliminate or unfund the other position. So that the net increase would just be the difference in pay. And then we would remove the FTE off the auditor's books. So that's, I don't think that requires another budget. Sorry, long answer. And unless you, it's really just contemplating how those PCNs get allocated. And it would be to update that budget, which would have a net increase very slightly.
Five budgets. So how about you just come back and you can talk about whatever you want
to
talk about.
Eric, that's what I think. Yeah.
Well, I think now that I know it, I want it moved out and put in the right place. I don't care if there's a small net. I want it right, not approximate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I would applaud you in doing that. So we'll see you on Thursday on that one. Okay.
We'll continue
on clerk of courts.
Clerk courts, clerk elections, clerk recorder, clerk auditor, clerk county assistants.
And technically, Chair, I think the second round was initially scheduled for 2 o'clock, me and the assessor, and I know on the record in this current meeting, I asked for that to be delayed, and it sounds like you're granting that to Thursday, so thank you. So the sender can have all of the time at 2 o'clock.
Oh, don't let him know that.
Sorry, carry on.
All right, the next budget is the coroner. Two new position requests on that budget and an equity adjustment. You want to continue that one?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, let's continue.
All right. So we have Sheriff, 410 Field Services, Sheriff, 510 Security Services, Sheriff, Motor Boat License, Sheriff, Emergency Communications, Sheriff, County Dispatch, Sheriff's CCNU. And for the record, the CCNU was actually missed on the first round. That was not provided in the packet. So we do need to go over the CCNU budget at the very minimum. So my recommendation is you bring back the sheriff.
Right. And you have, where you would just be discussing the ones that are listed as continued because the other three in there are set.
Yeah, because there was no change.
Right.
Budgets on the motorboat emergency and county dispatch.
I'm in favor of that.
Yeah, I'm in favor of not redoing them on those three. Okay.
Okay, the next one is a prosecuting attorney. I think there's a lot of moving pieces on that one.
I'm in favor of continuing.
Yep, continue, please.
Treasurer, there was one small change which was completed. Beyond that, there was no other changes.
I'm in favor of letting that budget stand.
Yeah, let it stand.
County agent, I know we're talking about moving that budget around from fair fund to current expense, but that's not going to impact the budget itself.
And I'm good with the move, and I'm good with to have this.
I agree. It was a good move.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm going to back up one. If we are continuing with holding a meeting with the coroner over a new position, why are we not doing so with the treasurer? If it says new reclassified, is that simply these equity adjustments?
Those were equity adjustments.
So I guess at a later date, we're going to discuss all of these equity adjustments?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Brooks, equity adjustments probably come in during our compensation slot.
Okay. Thank you.
Chairman, Steve Ross. I think that would be our expectation as well, as in that compensation to come with the spreadsheet that has all the new positions. And I think Chief Ross has already, in this other sheet, provided requested positions. I don't want to make this the comp meeting, but it might expedite a little bit your consideration on whether to have a second round for the departments. But if there's no more questions for the EOs or the DAs, that all the information that you need is before you, it just really comes down to having that meeting where we're going through all the new positions and all the equity adjustments. That's my hope, is in that compensation meeting. That's what we're reviewing.
Yeah. Agreed.
I like your goal.
All right, the next one is the fair and the fair building. I know these are two different budgets, but in the same fund. I did reach out to Director Center. She didn't have any changes, just for the record.
Okay. I'm good to cancel that.
Cancel?
Yep. And either Commissioner Brooks or Commissioner Holt.
As we list that, I know you have that as one line item, but it is two separate budgets, right?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
And since they're in the same fund, that's why I put remove county agent from fair fund.
Okay.
As an action item there.
Okay.
And we can certainly have a second round if you prefer.
No. No, this helps me because I was coming up with the wrong number of budgets.
Oh, okay.
So one was hidden in there. Okay.
It was a test.
It was a test.
Juvenile detention. That's a budget. There were some corrections made in power plan from the workshop number one. All the facilities improvements are in the facilities budget, as notated in the notes there. And then the computer equipment, there was an adjustment from $35,000 down to $21,000. The director chose to do the $14,000 out of this current fiscal year and dropped his FY25 request.
I'm good with not doing a second one.
Me too.
Okay. Clerk, are you good with that one?
Yes.
Okay.
And that adjustment was made in power plan already, so we have
it in. Yeah. All right.
Juvenile probation. There's actually the next four. Juvenile probation parole block, juvenile probation cigarette tax, juvenile probation lottery tax. Those are pretty straightforward budgets, unless you have questions.
I have none. Let's cancel those. Is that okay?
Yes.
I hear their heads shaking, yes.
Next one is misdemeanor probation. Same thing, no changes.
Okay.
Good. Human resources, those adjustments have been made on the education as well as some new and reclassified positions. Those are all equity adjustments.
I'm good.
I'm good without needing to go over it again.
Development services, no changes.
Okay.
But I do have a question on that one, if you don't mind me asking, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
Clerk, is there still three funded vacant positions for DSD? Because I know last year we reduced it from 33 to 30, but we kept them funded in case they do mechanical inspections again. Are those included?
Chairman, I did remove two positions that have now become unfunded from DSD. I don't know how many vacant currently, but I know they lost at least.
Well, on the June report compared to the May report had those two that were they building? Mechanical inspectors, that's what the positions were. We ended up not needing them. So on the June one, it shows that they're gone. And there's only one vacancy on development services that I see.
Yep.
Okay.
So I know for FY25, at least as it's built right now, they're showing 30 FTEs. So I don't know if
that's how... In my mind, it was 30.
Because we're reduced to 230.
So I'm questioning June's report, because then that means I lost two in May into June from DSD, and I gained two back somewhere, because the bottom line is 50.
Yeah, and Mr. I think when HR went through and validated all these one by one, I think
some
dates.
Okay.
It might be more accurate than the Mays that you saw.
Okay.
I know there's one more position in DSD, and it's around the... engineering coordinator. I know that one's in question if we keep that one or not.
Okay, all right.
We have a report.
So Sarah, could you check on that engineering coordinator?
Yes.
She's left. Because that might be another one. So beyond just validating those positions that are should be unfunded, do you want to cancel or continue DSD?
Just simply for two positions that were unfunding? Is that what I hear?
Actually, there's only one left that potentially...
Only one left in the June deal.
I don't need a meeting for that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So are we clear that they do or don't need that?
Sarah's going to check in.
Yeah, Chairman, I'll check. But okay. I'm pretty sure that she said she needed that one, but we just removed the other two.
Okay. We'll reconfirm. Okay.
Yeah, I want to state this one was to carry over, and some of the adjustments that she asked for was to be able to have the payroll capacity that...
I think she's wanting to hire an EIT to... Yeah. Serve with the engineer. All right.
Yeah, we can always bring it back on the schedule as needed.
Okay. All right.
Okay, the next one is fleet. That one to me is a continue. There is a discussion that we need to have within workshop number two with the board and the clerk.
Okay.
So I'm actually asking for a continue on that.
I'm in favor.
Yep. Let's do it, please.
And then facilities. I think that's another one that needs to come back with all the capital projects and potentially taking the capital projects and spread to the appropriate budgets.
Okay.
On the capital side.
Yes.
Okay.
Weed control. That's another one probably should continue. We might be adding a little bit of money in that budget. I'll let him talk about that with his GIS.
Okay. I'm in favor.
And then the pest control, if you don't mind, I'm going to say continue on that one because the GIS expenses might be split 50-50 between...
Oh, they might? All right.
And it's the same director, so it'd be in the same meeting.
Okay.
Parks. I put continue on there as a recommendation only because there was a new position in there if you want to discuss further.
All right.
Do you have any other questions?
No.
Nope.
So continue, Parks?
Yes.
Landfill. I did a recommendation on continue on that because he has a reorg within his enterprise fund, and that's a self-sufficient fund. He wants to talk to the board about that.
All right.
Information technology. That one, there's going to be some adjustments made on the B side because that's probably the one budget I know the best. And I did ask some questions on that, and they're going to shift some B expenses around. So that one I'd recommend bringing that director back to talk to the board and clerk.
Chairman.
Okay.
And you had talked about recruitment for that ISO position. So there... What was the total amount of equity adjustments that he was requesting? Is this reflected? Does this reflect some of the reductions in that or elimination of that?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Van Beek, that one, $132,070 is for the ISO. We upped that $10,000.
Okay.
Just recruitment. And then the equity adjustment is $25,634.
Is that what he originally proposed? So there could still be some room for negotiation in there?
Correct.
Okay. I'm in favor of continuing.
Yep, continue.
Public defense. I thought that was a pretty good recommendation to cancel, unless you have questions on that.
No, Mr. Chair.
No.
No.
TCA. There is quite a few adjustments in the TCA's budget, as well as basically two new part-time staff and then two part-time going full-time on the marshal side.
Chairman, I think we should continue that because that is in that's in motion with a lot of dialogue and conversation.
Yep, let's continue.
And then there's four others associated with the TCA, and that's family court services, court device, court facilities, mental court on that page. The TCA will be coming back, but those are pretty much a cancel. There's not much more to talk about.
I'm in favor of canceling.
Page, there's actually four more associated with the TCA, and same thing, there's no changes. And that's the trial court administrator drug court, misdemeanor DUI court, veterans court, and juvenile drug court.
I'm in favor of canceling those.
Yes.
Okay. So that's pretty much made it through every budget. And then, as you'll notice, all that we put out there, we did also add a list of positions. There's 21 positions going to be requested in FY25 to be determined. There's also a vacancy June report across the county, and also shows all vacancies, 6+ month vacancies, and 1+ year vacancies, and then a capital improvements list. But those will have their own meetings.
Chairman?
Yes.
And what's the recommendation for funding but not filling? What's going to, do you know what the proposal is going to be yet on funding if they have been out there and not filled?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Commissioner, I mean, that's going to be a decision of the board and the clerk. We'll have a meeting on that.
Okay, thank you.
To be determined.
Chief, are you anticipating that these documents would be posted on our agenda?
Yes.
Can we agree that we can either put a watercolor draft across these or a date? Because I don't want good factual information to be used against us.
I think that's
out of date.
I think that's an appropriate suggestion, Mr. Chairman.
In favor.
Workshop draft.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
So now that's, so July 11th for the clerk's budget to be rescheduled. I see misdemeanor probation, juvenile probation, and juvenile detention is on July 11th at 3. So I was wondering if we could move the clerks into that slot, if that works. Does that work for you?
It worked for me.
Wednesday at Thursday.
July 11th at 3.
And
Thursday.
Well, those beginning at 2.
Is that when they start at 2?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, then where would that start?
I just canceled them, so now there's an opening between 2 and 3:30.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll move the clerk. Yeah.
And Chairman, just for the record, I will be out of the office, but I'm happy to listen to the audio and catch up.
Please pose all questions in writing before you read.
There you go. Okay. Try to get my due diligence, Jen.
And we'll read each and every one. Well, maybe. We'll try to read some of them.
Okay.
All right.
Mr. Chair, to go forward on these meetings.
Hey, Chairman.
Yes.
I think Chief Ross referenced the need for weed control to come back. I am just administratively as a follow-up to you, or you want us to reach out to the folks who are going to be rescheduled for a second time around, and those who aren't, so they know that they're either done or they need to come back, and if they need to come back, I think your notes here might be a helpful guide. I don't know if you just want to share. This could even just be shared if, since this is your work product, as far as something to share, or we can combine to share. I know in the weed control piece specifically, I want to hear more about the revenue projections with the added piece, because there's about a $400,000 difference between revenue to expenses with his budget, and we levied about $250,000. to that, which would close some of that gap, but it would be underwater by about $150,000 if we levied the same amount, and their fund balance can't handle that. They would, you'd have to lay off the person. So, I mean, obviously, I think there's an assumption that the new position would generate more revenues. But short of good estimates on revenue projections, I think it would be dangerous to hire that person unless, again, you want to levy not $250,000 but $400,000, which means less money that gets levied into another fund, if that makes sense.
Chairman. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, Mr. Chair, because the revenue for the lead size is $132,000, but we're guessing that was about the uptick from last year, and I don't think the anticipated revenue with this new position is in that $132,000. So I think there are some questions there. Position is going to generate more revenue, that 132 needs to come up. And we need the director to come up with those numbers.
Yep. And there was a proposal to have that cost shared with Fish and Wildlife as well. So that, I mean, there's that. I don't know if that's been factored in. If you had half the expense, and maybe the revenue doesn't go to that then. I don't know.
I would like more of that information because if it was stayed on the record, I might have been double tasking and not paying attention.
Okay.
During that discussion, but I don't know if the notes reflect, and we don't have captured at least in Power Plan and what's been submitted and what's in our current version. It's showing about a $400,000 difference between revenue. Now we haven't put in what gets levied because that's kind of near the end how much we levy and where we levy it, but that's a significant gap.
Mm-hmm.
If we did the same levy. So if there was a revenue that we missed, I think it's important to go on the record and make sure that we capture that.
Okay.
As far as who shares it, I can if you want me to.
Why don't we do that? And then the clerk can concentrate on his draft and we can communicate back to the EOs and our directors. Who's in, who's out.
Mr. Chair, I'll get on that fairly quick because the meetings are already getting canceled.
Mm-hmm.
They're on.
They're dropping like flies. I love it. That's great. If that is that okay with you? Is it okay? All right. Okay. Well, it's 2:00. It's our break. If we're done, let's take a 2 or 3 minute break here so the audio can be broken to the next meeting time. So let's be adjourned for a brief.